This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
It's October, and what does that mean? Well, it's Geico-ween, of course. Don't be spooked by high rates on car insurance. Geico is brewing up spellbinding savings that they're crafting just for you. See how much you could save. Get a quote today at geico.com.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump returns. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Tuesday, October 6th. Thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump said he was feeling well as he left the hospital after treatment for COVID-19. However, members of his inner circle continue testing positive.
The CDC is now acknowledging that the novel coronavirus can spread through tiny air particles known as aerosols, revising earlier guidance.
Lessening political risk tied to President Trump's health and Joe Biden's lead in the polls helped stocks rise. The S&P 500 jumped 1.8%.
And road warriors who've spent much of their careers traveling for work are learning to adjust to a grounded schedule.
So many of the travelers that I spoke with for this story, in industries ranging from healthcare to international fish farming, a lot of them said that they had not been in one place or in their homes for more than 15 days straight. And so you can just imagine what a shock it has been to them now that we're more than 6 months into this pandemic.
Chip Cutter at the Wall Street Journal on road warriors reconnecting with home life. President Trump is back at the White House after 3 days of treatment for COVID-19. He walked out of Walter Reed National Military Medical Center last evening, shortly after 6:30, then hopped on Marine One for the short helicopter ride home. He's expected to isolate inside the White House residence instead of the West Wing, where many senior aides work. The White House quickly produced videos of Mr. Trump's arrival, and the president shared them on Twitter.
Don't let it dominate your lives. Get out there. Be careful. We have the best medicines in the world, and it all happened very shortly, and they're all getting approved, and the vaccines are coming momentarily.
Mr. Trump's doctors said earlier that he was not entirely in the clear and would need close monitoring. He is currently on a 5-day course of the antiviral drug remdesivir. He also continues to take the steroid dexamethasone. Mr. Trump's physicians declined to answer several questions about the president's case, including when he last received a negative COVID-19 test and whether his lung scans showed signs of pneumonia. Well, the president returned to a White House that's been rattled by the coronavirus. Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany now says she's tested positive and was going to quarantine. Two of her deputies have also tested positive. Other people close to the president who've tested positive include Trump campaign manager Bill Stepien, aide Hope Hicks, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, former advisor Kellyanne Conway, and Nick Luna, the director of Oval Office Operations. Officials now required to wear masks in the West Wing. Mask usage had been voluntary through the entirety of the pandemic. Deputy Press Secretary Brian Morgenstern.
We are certainly standing back from each other. We're wearing our masks. But the business of the American people has to continue.
Others who tested positive in the White House circle, Republican National Committee Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel, and Senators Tom Tillis of North Carolina, Mike Lee of Utah, and Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. The CDC has issued updated guidance about the spread of COVID-19, now saying it can spread through virus lingering in the air, sometimes for hours. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The guidance comes weeks after the agency published and then took down a similar warning, sparking debate over how the virus spreads. Yesterday, the agency said there was evidence that people with COVID-19 possibly infected others who were more than 6 feet away within enclosed spaces with poor ventilation. Under such circumstances, the CDC said scientists believe the amount of infectious smaller droplet and particles or aerosols become concentrated enough to spread the virus. The CDC says aerosol droplets can remain suspended in the air like smoke, Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. While the CDC stresses close contact transmission is more common than through air, a group of U.S. scientists warned in an unrelated open letter published in the medical journal Science yesterday that aerosols lingering in the air could be a major source of COVID-19 transmission. It's 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and proven adaptability are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Political factions in Texas are battling over when voting can begin in the state, what the ballot will look like, and where voters can drop off ballots. Less than 10 days before polls are set to open, Governor Greg Abbott issued an executive proclamation limiting drop-off locations for mail-in ballots to one per county last Thursday after some of the state's largest counties had already sent voters as many as a dozen options. More from Elizabeth Findell, reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Elizabeth, what's up here?
Basically, a matter of early voting is set to start here in Texas in just over a week, and there are still a number of lawsuits pending over how it will work. We've seen last-minute changes to where voters are allowed to drop off their ballots. We've seen fights that are still playing out over how mail-in ballot applications can be mailed out. Some Republicans are questioning the Republican governor's authority to add an extra week of early voting as he has done. So it's still just some confusion and chaos as we head into early voting here.
Wow. What makes this year special?
Well, it's obviously a high-profile year politically, and in Texas, even apart from the national races, there's quite intense battles for the state legislature. But on top of all that, COVID, of course, and the pandemic have really affected things. Texas is one of the only states in the country that requires pretty limited reasons that people can have mail-in ballots and did not make any adjustment to that for the pandemic. Many other states allow anyone who wants to request a mail-in ballot or is allowing anyone who wants to request a mail-in ballot during COVID. And Texas has not made those allowances, so it has made sort of the fights for access to voting that much more intense.
Well, what's the deal with drop-off locations?
Well, this was a surprise proclamation, executive proclamation from Governor Greg Abbott late last week, where he essentially said that he was going to limit drop-off locations for mail-in ballots to just one per county. Texas has 254 counties. And, of course, many of them are small counties that were only going to have one drop-off location anyway. But when you look at Harris County, which includes the city of Houston, which is the third most populous county in the United States, they were planning to have, I believe, more than a dozen drop-off locations around the city and had already sent out all that information to voters well in advance. So there's concern now that that could lead to problems if people go to drop off their ballot at a place that was supposed to be a location and it's shut down. And people are accusing the governor of trying to suppress votes that way, but he says that it's a matter of ballot security.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Findell, reporter covering Texas for the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called In Texas, Fights Over the Ballot as Voting is About to Start. There was somebody in your story who said there seems to be a lot of education for the voter that's needed in these closing days.
Yes, especially with things changing so quickly, you really have to know where you can vote, when you can vote, whether you're eligible for a mail-in ballot, if you're eligible, how to get one. All of that is really important for Texas voters to know.
Wow. What about disqualified ballots?
Well, Texas has this really interesting system of ballot boards where every mail-in ballot goes through a board of just normal people appointed by local political parties who compare signatures and have long had the authority to just throw out any ballot where they think the signature doesn't match the application without notifying the voter. And that has raised concern that even though it's supposed to be a protection against fraud, that that system in itself is has the potential for fraud. So that was challenged, and a judge ordered that if counties are going to throw out people's ballots, they need to at least notify the voters and give them the opportunity to correct them. But the Texas Attorney General is challenging, appealing that ruling.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Findell, who covers Texas for The Wall Street Journal. It's 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Trump returned to the White House last evening after being treated for COVID-19 for 3 days at Walter Reed Medical Center and immediately took off his mask to pose for pictures. The highly choreographed moment on the Truman balcony came hours after Trump suggested online that the disease is not all that serious.
Don't let it dominate you. Don't be afraid of it. You're going to beat it. We have the best medical equipment. We have the best medicines, all developed recently.
Trump then shot two videos that he later released on social media.
Number two.
White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany and two of her deputies have tested positive for the coronavirus. The three are among at least 18 people in the White House or connected to President Trump's reelection campaign or to recent White House events who have tested positive since late last week.
Number three.
As President Trump recovers from the coronavirus, Joe Biden is trying to capitalize on having the campaign trail all to himself. The former vice president was in Miami's conservative Little Havana yesterday and plans to visit Arizona on Thursday. He participated in an NBC town hall.
I would hope that the president, having gone through what he went through, and I'm glad he seems to be coming along pretty well, would communicate the right lesson to the American people. Masks matter. These masks, they matter.
Biden's increasing advertising in the traditional red state strongholds of Texas and Georgia. The staggering scale of California's wildfires has reached another milestone. A single fire has surpassed 1 million acres, the new mark for the August complex in the Coast Range between San Francisco and the Oregon state line came yesterday. The total area of land burned by California wildfires this year has passed 4 million acres, more than double the previous record. Well, you may think your dog is excited to see you, but she probably rather would see another dog. A new study in the Journal of Neuroscience finds that dogs aren't wired to focus on human faces, but they do have a region of the brain that sparks when a member of the same species comes into view. Researchers note that dogs use other forms of communication, such as scent and ear position, so their interest in other dogs rather than humans makes perfect sense.
We have a rescue dog who can do so many things with her ears. It's incredible.
And you can't move yours, right. So she'd rather see another
dog. Well, just
dog.
In comparison to like the chocolate lab who can do nothing. Her ears just flop. Must be 20 different positions for the rescue. Thanks, Jen. We've heard for years that it's important to have a diversified portfolio, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, that kind of thing. But if you've ever looked at a breakdown of the most successful portfolios, you'll typically see real estate. So why isn't it one of the first asset classes you consider when you're looking to diversify? Well, simple. It hasn't been available to investors like you and me until now, thanks to Fundrise. Whether you're new to real estate investing or a veteran, Fundrise can help. Fundrise is an investing platform that makes investing in high-quality, high-potential real estate as easy as investing in your favorite stock or mutual fund. Fundrise manages more than $1 billion in assets for more than 130,000 investors with a team of real estate professionals that carefully vets real estate projects. Start building your better portfolio today. Get started at fundrise.com/Gordon to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. That's FUNDRISE.com/Gordon to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. Fundrise.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. It's a time of reflection for hardened road warriors. As the pandemic drags on, some of them are questioning whether they'll ever fully return to their old lives. But a number of business travelers also say they're happier and healthier. Wall Street Journal reporter Chip Cutter says some are getting their best sleep in years anchored in one time zone. Chip, what are you hearing?
So many of the travelers that I spoke with for this story, in industries ranging from healthcare to international fish farming, a lot of them said that they had not been in one place or in their homes for more than 15 days straight. And so you can just imagine what a shock it has been to them now that we're more than 6 months into this pandemic, for them to now be at home doing their work from places that they really had not spent a lot of time in the past. And it's been a real kind of shock to so many.
How do they deal with it?
Well, a lot of them are honestly kind of frustrated. They say they are really kind of wanting to get back on the road. They're, I spoke with them both about kind of the loss of human connection that comes with travel, but also many of them said that they just have struggled to kind of get a sense of time, that they used flights and trips as a way to kind of measure time, to kind of keep a sense of urgency with their work. I spoke with one traveler who said that he finds meetings are now canceled more often, that when he was in the lobby, for example, of a hospital system or, in front of a client, it was harder to cancel on him than it is for a Zoom meeting that pops up on your computer. And so many are still really struggling to adjust here. A couple of travelers have returned to the road in very limited sense. Some are driving to client appointments. Others are kind of traveling by plane and, on just short trips. And they also say it's just not the same, that hotels are, pretty much a case where you go, you check in, you run straight to your room. You don't want to have any exposure in the hotel. So the days of kind of lingering by the bar or having a nice restaurant are over for many of them.
How about the point you made at the open of the story where some of them are actually getting like a decent night's sleep in one time zone?
Well, that's it. I mean, obviously we're in pretty kind of anxiety-ridden times, but many said that they just realize we've never been in one place for this long. Our bodies aren't, having to adjust to kind of being in multiple time zones in a really short amount of time. And so they say that they do feel healthier. They're more connected to their families than before. Many of the travelers said that simple pleasures like taking their dogs for walks or being able to have an outdoor movie night with their children were really enjoyable. And so I think this has led to kind of reflection on, should we travel the same once it is safe to do so? Should we go back to the road, on the road, in kind of the same volume that we did before? And a lot of them have said no. One traveler I spoke with said that he used to think of nothing of spending $1,000 to book a flight to Dallas the next day to attend a one-hour meeting.
Wow.
He says those days are over.
All right, that ship has sailed. Wall Street Journal reporter Chip Cutter, 30 minutes now after the hour, on This Morning, America's First News. To say that 2020 has been a year of uncertainty is an understatement, right? The way we work together changed overnight. Businesses learned pretty quickly that to adapt, they need a new way to get the essential resources they need. That's how Fiverr can help. Fiverr's online marketplace connects you with freelancers for hundreds of digital services, things like graphic design, web programming, film editing, and a lot more. And there's no guessing games. You customize your search by service, deadline, price, reviews, whatever matters to you. And you know the cost up front, no negotiating at all. Whether you're launching your first business, scaling your current business, or in need of extra support to complete a project, Fiverr's global network of on-demand freelance talent has worked with the most influential brands in the world and is here to help. Check out Fiverr.com and receive 10% off your first order by using my code Gordon. Find all the digital services you need in one place at Fiverr.com. Code Gordon. Again, that's Fiverr.com and code Gordon.
Advancing the conversation, identifying trends, and informing the world. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday, October 6th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump returns to the White House after hospital treatment for COVID-19. Members of the Trump inner circle continue testing positive. The CDC now says the coronavirus can linger in the air for hours in aerosols. The IRS is investigating Wayne LaPierre at the NRA for possible personal tax fraud. Football, Packers over the Falcons, and the Chiefs top the Patriots. Bill O'Brien fired as coach of the Texans. And the Georgia restaurant worker who got a life-changing tip. That story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Dell. When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they're focused on you, ready to offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Tens of millions of Americans have turned to a local food bank for help after becoming newly food insecure because of the pandemic and its fallout. The Census Bureau says about 10% of American adults, 22.3 million, reported they sometimes or often didn't have enough to eat within the past week. That's up from 18 million before March 13. Meanwhile, Feeding America, a nationwide network of more than 200 food banks, projects a 6 to 8 billion meal shortfall in the next 12 months. More from Laura Riley, who covers the business of food for the Washington Post. Laura, take us through this.
So Feeding America is the big kind of engine that supports all of the smaller, you know, faith-based soup kitchens and food pantries and whatever around the country. And so they basically have done some projections on what they're seeing right now and what they envision for the future. And they say that there will be a shortfall of up to 8 billion meals in the next 12 months. So they have seen things change. Basically, all of the food banks in the country have had about a 60% increase in need since the start of the pandemic, which is pretty staggering.
Wow. All right. So why the shortfall then? Is it that difficult for some of these, let's say, grocery stores or food makers to keep up with requests?
Well, grocery stores, so what grocery stores give to the food banks is called reclamation food, and a lot of those resources have dried up as grocery stores have been inundated. I mean, as we've seen, there's been supply chain problem, you know, issues for the past 7 months. So a lot of grocery stores that ordinarily would give their excess baked goods or, you know, meat that's, you know, at the end of its life to the local food banks, they're keeping it because they need that extra, you know, stockpile for the increase in customers. So that avenue has dried up. Corporate donations have dwindled for the food banks, partly because there used to be a tradition of, you know, if you worked for a, you know, Mosaic phosphate company, whatever, you would volunteer at the local food bank, and at the end of the day, there would be a check given to the food bank. And a lot of those kinds of corporate giving programs have gone on hiatus as people have worked from home. So that avenue has been problematic. And then if you think about, a lot of the food banks don't get federal funding, so they have to do fundraising. It's really hard to run a fundraiser when everyone's worried about social distancing. So a lot of the in-person opportunities to fundraise have dried up. And then you have federal programs like pandemic EBT and SNAP expansion that kind of hang in the balance. I mean, we had some things that passed in the House last week and were voted on in the Senate and now are waiting for President Trump to figure out, you know, what the future of is. But some of these big pandemic era food assistance programs are poised to expire.
Wow. We're speaking with Laura Riley. She covers the business of food for the Washington Post. Her piece is called U.S. Faces Shortage of Up to 8 Billion Meals in the Next 12 Months. You said, too, there's actually fewer volunteers these days. Why is that?
Well, most of the volunteers at food banks around the country are retirees. And as we know about that demographic, they're more susceptible or, you know, have more comorbidities that put them in a danger zone in terms of the, you know, COVID. And so volunteer numbers have really changed. So I talked to one food bank that ordinarily would have about 450 volunteers a week. It's down to 100. And then if you think about it, pre-pandemic, that a food bank, you would go, if you're a food insecure person and you want to go pick up food, you go, you fill a box or a bag or whatever yourself, you pick the things that make sense for you and your family, and then you get on your merry way. But I think most food banks have had to pivot to a model where they pre-fill boxes that just go into the trunk of your car for contactless exchange. So you have more requirements in terms of volunteer man hours. That takes a lot more energy and effort to pre-fill these boxes and bags so that you can just flip them in someone's car.
Have the wildfires and or hurricanes been a drain as well? I know they're around every year, but they have to factor into this, I guess, this year, right?
Absolutely. Well, most food banks think of this as the big, you know, it's the era, the time of year where most natural disasters occur, right? Or at least in the past few years, the kind of the hurricane season for the Southeast, the kind of drought related wildfire season. So we've seen the past couple years, this is the more intense part of the year in terms of food need. And now lay on the top of that, the millions and millions of people who are out of work because of COVID, and you really have an untenable situation for a lot of these food banks.
Thanks, Laura. Laura Riley, who covers the business of food for the Washington Post. Hey, thanks for being with us, and welcome into Tuesday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, you know, sometimes we don't know we needed something in our lives until we see it. That's the case for millions of TikTok users who are going crazy over a kitchen hack so simple it will make your head spin. TikTok user Andrew Gatt has recently gone viral with a video demonstrating how home cooks can avoid kitchen spills after pouring liquid food from a bowl into a pan. To demonstrate the pouring pitfalls, Gatt first showed himself pouring scrambled eggs from a bowl into a skillet. He then points to the runoff spilling over the lip of the bowl, which continues to drip. Gatt, who tipped the bowl to his left, explains that if he tips the bowl back to his right, as most people would normally do when they pour, it's going to drip on his counter. However, in a moment of brilliance, Gatt continues turning the bowl all the way to the left, allowing physics to kick in and the drippings to fall back into the bowl. Such a simple yet mind-blowing revelation for many, with the video now having been watched nearly 1.5 million times.
Man.
We've been doing it wrong.
Yes.
Forever.
For generations.
Yes.
Ever since we created bowls.
Right.
Right. So, let's go back to to ancient Egypt.
Right.
And we hadn't figured this out.
Right. Saving ourselves, you know, 30 seconds of cleanup every Sunday morning for breakfast.
Wow. You know what also works?
Yeah.
In this situation?
What's that?
Ordering delivery.
Sure.
Yeah. No spills, no drips.
Yes, delivery, yeah. Having someone else perhaps do it for you.
Grubhub, Uber Eats, solves all that.
Those are all good solutions. And there are some equations that you know are going to add up to something bad. For example, 21-year-old college students plus tequila plus wine on a Tuesday night equals a call to the fire department. That's what happened recently in the UK when a group of friends had to call the fire department to free their friend who was trapped in a clothes dryer. 21-year-old Rosie Cole said she and her housemates were drinking wine and tequila last Tuesday when she was challenged to crawl into their shared clothes dryer. Since she didn't think there was any chance she'd actually fit, she decided to give it a go and found it surprisingly easy to get in. The problem was getting out. She wasn't able to do it herself, and even her friends couldn't pull her free from the dryer, so they decided to call the local fire brigade. The arriving firefighters were able to free Cole within 20 minutes, but that likely isn't the end of the ordeal, with her friends promising they will never stop making fun of her for this.
Wow. Imagine when she gets out of college and goes for the first job interview.
Yeah.
And, of course, the hiring manager Googles her name.
Right.
And this is what pops up.
Yeah, that's going to be unfortunate for her.
That's a fine digital footprint you've created for yourself there, Rosie Cole.
It's all funny. Fun and games now until it's time to get a job.
So true. By the way, you know, with alcohol being involved here, my encounter with beer and Crown Royal.
Okay.
As an underage freshman.
Right, mixing those two in the same night.
Now, I didn't crawl into a dryer,
but
many worse things happened to me that night. 30 years later, I stay away from Crown Royal.
Beer before liquor, Gordon. You know how that ends.
Well, I might have learned that if I was 21. I didn't at 19 or whatever. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
For the ones working tirelessly to keep their coworkers safe. For the ones rising to new challenges. For the ones rebuilding stronger than before. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, and 24/7 support. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday. A new study shows what many of us already knew or experienced. American adults are drinking more during the COVID-19 pandemic. The JAMA Network Open published a report that found alcohol consumption has increased by 14% compared to a year ago, including 17% for women. The study also showed a 41% increase in heavy drinking for women. Heavy drinking is defined as 4 or more drinks for women within a couple of hours and 5 or more for men. Alcohol sales at the beginning of the pandemic in March went up 54%, with health experts explaining that people were turning to alcohol to cope with a life-altering and deadly global crisis. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin spoke for about an hour yesterday, but emerged from a phone call with no coronavirus stimulus deal. The pair expects to talk again today as the White House and Democratic leaders try to craft an elusive fifth relief package.
Number two.
The Washington, D.C. Health Department has been trying to connect with the White House to assist with contact tracing regarding the ongoing COVID-19 outbreak that has infected President Trump and several senior staff members. New Jersey officials are also trying to contact people who attended a fundraiser last Thursday in Bedminster. The tracing efforts come as Trump was released from Walter Reed Medical Center last evening. Trump physician Sean Conley.
We've worked with our infectious disease experts to make some recommendations for how to keep everything safe down at the White House for the president and those around him.
Number three.
A Texas police officer accused of fatally shooting a 31-year-old man Saturday night has been arrested on a murder charge. Authorities say Wolf City police officer Sean Lucas did not take reasonable action in the encounter that killed Jonathan Price. Lee Merritt is attorney for the Price family.
They are grappling with the reality that they're never going to see Jonathan again in this lifetime, and it's very difficult for this family.
Price's family says Jonathan had intervened in a fight between a man and a woman at a gas station before the shooting. Tropical storm Delta is moving toward the Gulf of Mexico and expected to take aim at the coast this week as a major hurricane. If Delta strikes, it would break a record that dates to 1916 for the most named storms to hit the U.S. Another milestone in a year marked by repeated natural disasters ranging from floods to wildfires to tornadoes. The storm is expected to make landfall between Louisiana and Florida. British rock band Led Zeppelin has effectively won a long-running legal battle over claims it stole the opening guitar riff from its signature 1971 song Stairway to Heaven. The band was handed victory after the Supreme Court yesterday declined to take up the case, meaning that a March decision by a U.S. appeals court in Led Zeppelin's favor will stand. The claim had come from the band Spirit, which said Led Zeppelin lifted from its song Taurus.
That's a pretty amazing battle, considering that Stairway to Heaven, by some measures, consider like the greatest rock song of all time.
1971.
Yeah.
They couldn't settle this earlier than that.
Right. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Coming up next, a Waffle House employee gets the tip of a lifetime. Glad you're with us. A Georgia pastor recently gave a Waffle House waitress the surprise of a lifetime after raising a $12,000 tip for the pregnant server after learning that the woman's unborn child will have the same name as his late son. Bishop Eusebio Phelps visited a Stockbridge location of the diner chain last week, was struck by the kindness of the server named Hannah Hill. With just a few weeks to go till her due date, Ms. Hill revealed that she planned to name her unborn son Samuel. Pastor Phelps, the leader of New Faith Christian Church, felt that was a divine sign. His son Samuel died in Atlanta 7 years ago, and the anniversary is coming up soon. He shared Ms. Hill's story on Facebook, and within about a day, supporters raised over $12,000. She was asleep in her car when her mother-in-law called to tell her to get to the Waffle House as soon as possible. The money will help her fund a car and a new place to live. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as watching your dog growl at the wall and realize he sees something you don't. Get a quote at geico.com.